Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Well, thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
The Drift with the Drake.
The Drake's.
I'm being a little hoggy
Drake.
There, aren't I?
Everyone loves the Drake.
I hate the Drake. Yeah. And I am the Drake.
All right. So plenty of stuff to cover today. But if you have something as a listener, feel free to call in 734-822-1600. Love to get your opinions on things. But what we do every weekend is cover the news stories that... We put on The Daily Drift, www.thedailydrift.com, the news you need to know, and stay abreast of the current events in the world. You don't get it at the mainstream media, but you get it here at Wham! Talk 1600. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to talk about some of those things coming up, especially the challenging drive-in, meaning the potholes.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to go into that today. I'm on fire. But before we do that, let's take care of our sponsor this half hour, is the Current newspaper. CurrentOnline.com, CourantOnline.com, that's the Current. And you can still get into the March edition if you call me very quickly this weekend or Monday, 734-629-6010, or email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com, or editor@currentonline.com, and we can get you into the March edition. It's a good paper. Spring edition is always a good paper to be in.
So. Hey, down at the Current, when you're putting it together and someone calls in with a great story or they want to advertise, do you ever yell, "Stop the presses"? Does that ever happen?
No, but I always talk to the political officer from the Obama administration to make sure it's something we should or should not cover, you know.
Well, you definitely have to have the...
I call the White House to make sure it's applicable and that we're allowed to cover it. And then, of course, I'll print it.
Well, it's like Pravda. You know, you have to get approval.
Okay, so definitely roads. So yesterday, driving into work, it's rainy, the puddles are everywhere, and I know where most of the potholes are, and I'm getting pretty doggone good at avoiding them. Blew out two tires. Thank you very much, State of Michigan, and Wayne County especially. It was Merriman and Schoolcraft.
Well, Governor Rick Snyder would say to you, well, you didn't approve my $1.3 billion per year for the next 10 years on roads that I want to spend. Well, that's what he would say.
I'm going to assume at this point, if we've got $1.whatever billion in surplus this year.
Well, this is even before the surplus, yeah. I believe. Yeah. He wanted to throw another tax on gasoline, which is now $3.65 a gallon down at the Speedway. We haven't even hit the driving, craziness in the summer when gasoline prices go through the roof. And so why can't we just make the roads last for like maybe 5 years?
Well, they do need to spend some money. The problem is one road commissioner I talked to said they somehow always seem to wiggle money out of the road fund for other things, and that's probably where some of the money goes. But
maybe education.
But if you have a surplus, right? And this is what irritates me. You need $1.2 billion to spend this year. You've got like $1 billion surplus, give or take.
Right.
Why are you giving us, and it's because it's an election year, these idiot Republicans, and I'm saying that with all due respect, you people— Senators and representatives and Governor Snyder yourself, you're an idiot. Every one of you has not a lick of common sense. You buffoons, you morons, take that money. You've already taken it from us. We're not missing it. Spend it on the roads.
Well, they want to divert a big chunk of it, right, to Head Start, all this pre-kindergarten crap, which is a glorified babysitting job.
Yeah, and then they want to give us a tax break, so we each get $20 back.
Yeah, exactly.
I spent $32. Thank goodness I had a road warranty at Discount Tire. You know, Discount Tire, if you need tires, go to Discount Tire. hey, great place. I was in and out for $32. I'm so glad the guy sold me the road hazard warranty. Normally you go, no, I don't need that. Doggone it, I needed it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You lucked out because you could have easily damaged your whole suspension system or been in an accident.
Yeah, or damaged my rims, which would have been very expensive.
Exactly, exactly. You know, it's like I was driving down the road today, over the past week, and it's getting worse and worse, and they're saying that pothole season hasn't even really begun yet. You know, the temperature right now is in, I think, the low 30s is supposed to be today. And it's going to the temperature is going to collapse again next week. It's going to be down zero and below zero at night.
Yeah.
So right away, we're going to see the roads getting worse than they are now. And the article I read yesterday said that when pothole season really begins, which is going to be like late March.
When the thaw comes out of the ground.
Right.
When the frost comes out of the ground.
That we will be longing for the roads that we're complaining about right now, because that's how much worse it's going to get a few weeks from now. It's like trying to avoid tank traps in World War II Ukraine.
Yeah. A lot of the roads I drive on look, and I told you this before the show, it's like Tijuana. This is as third world as it can possibly get. And you're right. Once that, and it's going to take probably 90 days. Well, it won't take 90 days. It'll probably take 45 days to get that frost out of the ground once it starts warming up. And you're right. Because when you have a thaw like this, that salt water digs down in between the cracks in the asphalt and the cement, refreezes with the frost,
and expands.
Then up it comes again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to get way worse. And you know what? As a listener, call your representative, call your state senator, tell them to stop jacking around because it's election year. You know, the Republicans think we're all stupid too, just like the Democrats do. Oh, let's give back some money to people because it's election year.
Yeah,
we don't need the money back. We need the roads fixed. What kind of a moron would take that $1 billion and give us $20 a piece out of it when you can fix the roads for this year?
I agree.
Idiots. We're not going to vote for you because you give us $20 back in a tax rebate or reduction in taxes.
It's like, fix the damn roads and fix them right. Can you imagine? Now, I don't have proof in front of me. I don't have numbers in front of me to, you know, say this definitively. But the way government works and the way they're so efficient to begin with and incompetent, but also the room for corruption when they award these contracts out to fix roads and infrastructure. Can you imagine the kickbacks and all the stuff probably goes on that we just never really hear about?
You could probably
add the whole union thing.
If you got rid of Davis-Bacon wages, you could probably do a lot more road work. You know, being constrained by that federal rule is just crazy. But let's take a call from Jenny because it gives me a chance to calm down. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. I love both of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny.
I have a rhetorical question. I've been hearing how the people in Venezuela are starting to rise up, and, of course, the people in Ukraine now have, quote-unquote, kicked out their, quote-unquote, president.
Their Russian puppet.
Right. So why can't we do this? Why won't the Congress get it with it?
Well,
it's a rhetorical question. Why won't the people get it?
Year. Yeah, I'm with you, Jenny. It would be nice for them to do that, but let's face it, you can only really get elected if you're a gutless so-and-so, you know,
well,
for the most part.
And the thing, too,
that's
is
broad generalization. I'm not holding that on everybody.
I know what you're saying, Jenny, the frustration that you're venting and expressing on the air. But, you know, that's what elections are about. And hopefully when some of these people are replaced, that we will get somebody in that will do the right thing.
Yeah. Unlike the Ukraine, your vote does matter. And all of you who did not vote for Mitt Romney last time around or did not vote for Peter Hoekstra here in the state of Michigan for Senate, you voted for Debbie Stabenow again here in Michigan. You got nobody to blame but ourselves, because each of us that either did not vote or didn't campaign for him, you got Debbie Stabenow because you failed to do your job.
Well, those are good points, but let me throw this out at you too, Gary and you, Jenny, is that I'm going to, you know, probably stir it up a little bit here. But we voted for Rick Snyder, a Republican, and we voted for a Republican Senate and a Republican House.
And
so this theory of holding their feet to the fire, are we?
Right.
Can we?
We have not. We have not held their feet to the fire.
The only good thing that the governor has done is we have a surplus.
Well, we have right to work, too.
Well, you know,
right.
we have this surplus, and this irritates me, too, when he came in, because he basically shifted. I mean, the economy has turned around in general, you know, on a national level. It has to once you throw trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at it, right? Something has to happen as far as the economy coming back a little bit. I know you're not getting your money's worth for all the money we've printed and dumped into it, but the overall economy is going to rise up. The problem I have with Rick Snyder, one of the problems is he shifted it, the tax burden, onto individuals, you know, taking away the homestead credit, taking away certain deductions, and then giving a huge tax decrease to businesses. Why couldn't we have the tax decrease and simplification of getting rid of the single business tax and all that garbage? Do that, and at the very least, not raise taxes on people, especially seniors and their pensions. And you know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay, excuse me, but I have a correction that I need to make for you.
Go ahead.
We do still get a little bit of homestead.
You?
No, it depends. It totally depends on what your income is.
Well, I do.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying the homestead's totally wiped out, but for a lot of people it was. A lot of people. And especially if you're a senior and you're 70 and a half or older, and now you are required to take out a certain amount of your 401k or your IRA money. That's called the required minimum distribution. So this is money that you have put away over the years, and now it comes back to you, and it's taxable. And you have to take so much out, and that drives people up into a higher tax bracket and prevents them from getting the homestead credit at the state level that they used to get.
That's the accountant talking.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I mean, I don't get as much as I used to, but I didn't cry about it because I knew at the time that we needed the money in the state, and so I didn't cry about it.
See, I'm crying about it because I thought we would do it with a Republican governor in House and Senate, that we would do more with less instead of just shifting the numbers around to the individual level. Now, I get it. You know, you cut taxes for business. Hopefully, you're going to create more jobs and then more revenue that way. And that's probably happened to a certain degree. But, like, I'm not going to repeat myself again. I thought we're going to get an overall tax decrease.
Yeah, well, you're wishful
not
thinking.
Shuffling the deck around.
Well, Jenny, thanks for the call.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to get going, but thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny.
Take care. Let's take a call from Keith from Wayne. Keith, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Keith. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say that, yeah, the roads are bad around here. It's actually the whole region, even down in Toledo, a different state. They're just, potholes are horrible. But from what I've heard, talking to someone who does engineering and that the gravel roads, when the thaw starts happening, are so bad, the frost is so bad, it's actually going to turn to quicksand.
Ugh.
And that's not good for cars at all. So I worry about those on the rural roads more than anything.
Yeah, it's terrible. I got hit at Merriman and Schoolcraft down there by you on yesterday. So, yeah, the roads are terrible. It's crazy. The tire shop said the first 12 people that came in yesterday were all pothole victims.
And the gravel roads are the lowest priority because they're the least traveled on. The article I read was that they're always going to try to repair, obviously the most heavily traveled roads and where the biggest potholes are. So,
right.
Yeah, the gravel roads, the country roads, that's going to be a disaster.
Yeah. Anything else, Keith?
No, that was it. I love the show.
Great. Thanks, Keith. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir.
Let's take a call from Gene from Linden. Gene, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I called my state rep out here earlier this week and suggested the same thing, to keep that so-called surplus, because it's just a PR stunt. But a couple years ago, I was listening to a radio program, and they had one of the state reps on, and they were talking about the roads. And the host suggested that we have the same kind of, laws, for lack of a better term, as in Germany. Whoever repairs or builds a new road there is responsible for that for 7 years.
Yeah, that would be a great
way. That way, they're done correctly. They don't just walk away from them. Well, this state representative said, oh, well, we'll consider that, and I'll talk about it just as soon as we blah, blah, blah. Well, I haven't seen anything in that regard.
Yeah,
and you never will.
Yeah, but at least you did the right thing, Gene. You went out and you called
your
representative, and I think everybody needs to do that. I mean, light up those phone lines and emails and faxes and let them know that, you know what, we don't want the $20 back. We want you to fix the roads. Keep that money. We're not missing it. It's already there in Lansing. Use it.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly what I told them, and it's not the first time I called regarding that. But everybody, it's a simple phone call. Look your rep up, look the governor's number up, and start raising a little hell.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know what you're saying about the $20, and we're taxed to death. Don't try to placate us with this measly little $20. Like, we're not buying it. We're not falling for it.
Right.
You've already got our money. Do something effective and efficiently with it.
Yeah. Anything else, Gene? Oh, looks like I think we lost Gene already. Let's take Pastor Rick while we're on a roll here. Pastor Rick, welcome to the show. Pastor Rick. We missed him.
Your sexy voice scared him away.
Well, you know, this is the crazy thing. Oh, is that line one, Pastor Rick? Pastor Rick, is that you?
I'm here now.
Yeah, there you go.
You never lost me. You just clicked the wrong button, I think.
I guess. I thought you were ahead of the pack, but no. All right, go ahead. What's going on, Pastor Rick?
Yeah, well, I wish I would have had a chance to say hi to our friend Jenny. She's a sweetheart. I think we have to find a way to help the Republican Party on defining the issues. The Republican Party has been losing that war for quite a few years now, allowing the progressives to define what the issues were. For example, 9/11, when that happened, that started out as a terrorist attack. Before long, because they lost the presidential election after that terrorist attack, they redefined that whole thing as it happened because of our intolerance towards Islam. They took Obamacare. We did well in 2010 on Obamacare, so they redefined that as a war on women.
Yeah.
So what I need to figure out is how do we help the Republican Party in defining the issues during the campaign time, because we tend to drop the ball. As soon as the progressives jump on bandwagon and start redefining what they know their weakness is, and turn their weakness to the strength, we just hand it over to them.
Yeah, that's the
thing. Here you go.
Hey, Rick, that's the eternal question. We've brought that up on this show almost every week, you know, more often than not. And how do you communicate to the electorate that, you know, the issues like you're saying, and to get them to want to pay attention to you as a conservative? And, you know, I saw on the internet just before the show, it looked like Michelle Obama was on with Jimmy Fallon and Will Ferrell in a dress. You know, so I bring that up because that entertainment culture of our country is what the norm is now, where the first lady's going to sit there snuggling up to a man in a dress in a comedy show. Well, you know what I mean? And whatever Jimmy Fallon says, because young people are going to watch that and they see the first lady, that's where the message is being communicated to him and his stupid guests.
Yeah. Well, you see, I think the problem is of the Republicans or conservatives being able to communicate goes way back to Goldwater. The Republicans have never really been able to verbalize the way they see things. For example, why is minimum wage dangerous to the economy? They'll sit there and say it is, but they never explain why.
Yeah. When I say the Democrats are economically retarded because they just don't understand economics, the Republicans are marketing retarded. They have no ability to communicate a message. I mean, we see it time and time again. And you're right, Drake. We say it on this show all the time. The message is this. Why aren't you speaking it?
And when they do speak it, it just doesn't seem to resonate.
This is what I'm asking. This is my question. We all see what the problem is. I hear it time and time on your show often. Yes, I hear it on a lot of talk shows that this is the problem. How do we help the Republicans? The question is, how do we help them learn how to define the issue? How do we step in and say, here's how you need to do this if you're going to win the election? How do we as a populace say, educate your voter?
Yeah, the only thing I could say, Pastor Rick, is instead of writing blank checks to the Republican Party, you make sure when you write a check to finance a campaign that you're only financing those campaigns where they're doing it correctly.
Well, we've all acknowledged.
You can't just give a check to the Republican Party anymore because that money is going to get wasted to people like Karl Rove.
I think we've all acknowledged and we understand that it's not a level playing field. So we have to be that much more effective, that much more brilliant in communicating the message because we have this tidal wave against us.
Write a check to us instead.
You know, I know that you don't agree with me 100% on my view on this, and that's fine. I'm not trying to start a movement on this. I'm just telling you how I personally feel. Is I won't. You called them the Republicans idiots earlier, and I'm saying right on. That's right where they're at. I'm tired of rewarding idiots with my vote anymore. It's a case of if we're really going to turn the Republican Party back into the conservative. Have the conservatives show up for the conservatives.
Yeah. Well, I've said it a million times. I wanted to call into Theron's show this week because they were discussing it too. You know, the primary, you vote your conscience. you vote for that libertarian or that third party or that super conservative Republican. In the primary, you vote your conscience. But once that primary is over, whether you get a Matt Bevin or a Mitch McConnell, you support that winner, conservative, or you support the most conservative person that can get elected.
Even with Rick Snyder, I would support that statement as long as they allow and a conservative steps up and at least tries to primary them.
Right, right. And I agree. I'm 100%. I'm no big fan of Rick Snyder. He has done some good here in the state of Michigan. But when it comes to him or Mark Schauer, hands down, Rick Snyder is the man.
Yeah,
and see that, there's no if, ands, or buts. We can vote for some other guy in the primary if someone steps up.
Yeah,
I think we had, who's that independent guy from Ann Arbor here that was saying he was going to run as an independent? Oh. I can't remember his name. But anyway,
worried that Schauer would overturn right to work. Right, here's my problem. I think Rick Snyder would overturn right to work if it was beneficial to him.
Yeah, I don't know that. I only look at it because of the reason that he passed right to work.
See, I find it sad, though, that it always seems to ultimately come down to the scenario of, okay, this guy isn't all that great, and then this guy's a total douchebag. So I guess I'm going to go with the guy that's not all that great.
We need to start really pushing for the conservatives, and the conservatives need to start going to the Republican Party and say, you want to win an election, put conservatives in the general.
Yeah,
but I know that's my opinion.
No,
and again, I am not.
Rick, I see your point.
To do different than what you're saying.
I wish we had a third party, Rick. I really do. I wish there was a way to do it. But the only way we'll ever have a viable third party in this country is A, we have to get rid of straight ticket voting, and B, you have to start at the local level. You have to get your township supervisors, your township boards, your school boards, your county commissioners as a third party candidate, be it libertarian or constitutional,
to grow
party,
a movement.
And you have to start from the bottom up. You have to seize control from the bottom and work up. Otherwise, third party is just a waste of time.
Well, what I would like to see is in The Current, which, by the way, I read it often. As a matter of fact, I know it comes out once a month, but I probably read it once a week, is I would like to see something in The Current directed at our politicians saying, politicians, get it right. And I'm going, just circling back to my original comment. Get it right. Here are the talking points. Learn how to argue them and give them some ideas on how to do it.
Pastor Rick, you write it. I'll put it in the March issue.
I will start on it this afternoon.
Shoot for 350 words, and I'll put it as close to the front page, if not on the front page.
I will start on it this afternoon.
Thanks, Pastor Rick. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Have a blessed day.
Let's take a call from Jim. Jim from Ann Arbor. Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that I voted for Rick Snyder because of Jennifer Holm and the Democrat Party. And I figured my taxes were going to go up because how else are we going to get out of debt? And that he would make the right decisions, ultimately, to bring Michigan back to where it should be. And so far, I don't really have anything to complain about.
I'll agree. I mean, he's not where I want him to be, but I don't think I'll ever have a politician to be that. Rick has my vote. Unless some other conservative has the money, the power, and better ideas than Rick, I'm going to vote for him in the fall.
Yeah, but you're not going into that booth and voting with any kind of passion. You're just kind of like, okay, I got to go for this guy.
Yeah, well.
Right?
Yeah.
I'd love to say I love my politician, but hey, you know.
It's never going to happen.
I knew you turned the mood lighting on in here for a reason, didn't you?
Wait until you see the scented candles I have for us.
Great points, Jim. Anything else?
Well, I listen to a lot of Canadian news on the radio and TV.
Oh, that's your problem.
And as yet this year, have I heard him mention anything about potholes over there. I don't know if that's just not in their vocabulary or what, but they don't seem to be talking about bad roads over there.
Yeah, I think they've got a better road plan than what we do here in the state of Michigan. I heard the guys at the tire shop today talking about weight restrictions on trucks here is a big issue. I'm not an expert, but hopefully maybe we'll get somebody to call in who knows a little bit more about roads. You know, thanks for the call, Jim. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll catch you all on the other side.
Are always
on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theron X. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. He calls it a coup, but the Ukrainian parliament has voted to dismiss President Yanukovych and hold new elections in May. Yanukovych has fled his home in Kiev, but an aide says he's still in the country.
Yanukovych said earlier today that he is not resigning, and as far as we know, he still considers himself the president of the country. However, the Interior Ministry and the security services are both now run by opposition people.
Fox's Amy Kellogg reporting in Kiev. At the Vatican today,
Lexios Sancti Evangelii Secundum Marcum.
Pope Francis naming 19 new cardinals, including several from underrepresented nations in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Retired Pope Benedict XVI also attended the ceremony and was warmly greeted with applause by the congregation. Fox News, we report, you decide.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
This is a test. This station is conducting a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. This is a test of the emergency alert system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with federal, state, and local authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions. This station, WAAM Radio, serves the Washtenaw County operational area. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching our drift here at Wham! Talk 1600. Drake?
The emergency alert system. I think we already did that with the potholes. I think we already kind of communicated that.
Emergency alerts. Ann Arbor just got swallowed by a pothole.
Sinkhole.
Well, speaking of that, Derek was kind enough to put up some numbers for us for you to report your potholes. Let's start with
Not your medical marijuana, people.
Yeah. Washtenaw County Road Commission phone number, 734-761-1500. The Wayne County number is 888-762-3273. And for Michigan State, the MDOT number is 517-323-2090. So check those out, see what's going on. I wanted to get real quick to, you want to talk about U of M, the Regents.
They just hired
because of the diversity thing at the U, and the U of M has to be politically correct no matter what. The Michigan Regents hired a minority recruiter.
And they're always trying to get around the affirmative action. It's been banned in Michigan, period. And the University of Michigan is always agitating to get around the law and ignore it. And so, you know, I'm going to just read this. Under pressure to increase the number of minority students, the University of Michigan Board of Regents approved an associate vice president's job on Thursday to focus on enrollment management. They're talking about getting qualified minority students into the University of Michigan. Here's my thought on that. If you are a qualified student, period, whether you are a minority or not, white, black, whatever, then you are qualified to apply to the University of Michigan. Why would you need this bureaucratic, this office established to recruit minority students? Because if you're a minority student and you've got the good grades and the ACT and SAT scores and you got the extracurricular activities going for you, I would think that unless you live in a cave, that you're aware of the University of Michigan and you can apply like anybody else.
Yes.
And if you need financial aid, you can go through the channels just like anybody else.
Yes.
So how is this allowed and celebrated?
Because the administration and the regents at the U of M are so gutless, they can't handle a little bit of pressure from somebody who says, it's not diverse enough here. Let me assure you, when I walk the campus or downtown Ann Arbor, it's probably the most ethnically diverse place
sure.
I've ever been to.
And
it's
got,
incredible. I don't understand this lack of diversity. It looks very diverse when I walk the U of M campus.
And you've got, as part of that student body, you've got people from all over the world coming here. Some can barely speak the language, and they're making it.
Yeah. It's the liberals with their touchy-feely. You got to do something. You have to do something because half a dozen people showed up and did a sit-in and protested. You know what? There's plenty of diversity on campus. I don't care what your numbers say. Walk the campus for yourself before you tell me it's not diverse at the U of M.
And so you're paying tuition to the University of Michigan to help pay the salary of an office to recruit minority students.
Yeah.
Well, why can't we just be students? Why can't we just be Americans? Why is it always this prefix of African-American or, you know, Jew, whatever it is, you know? Just be an American and do your work and just stop bellyaching about everything.
It's that culture of complaining. Somebody has to complain, and of course, we have to fix that person's complaint. The heck with that.
Exactly.
Person.
And like you said, this liberal mentality, that they're celebrating this meeting they had to hire this person, and I'm sure they're going to have a staff. And
it's a total waste of your tuition money and our taxpayer money as well. So,
and let's say it didn't even cost that much. Let's say is, you know, they're going to pay this person $25,000 a year. Still, it's you know, it's
$125,000.
Well, I know, yeah, but let's just say it was this low salary amount this person agreed to do it. It's symbolic of what's wrong in academia and in America.
Right.
It's the principle of it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, on a completely different subject, we have a caller from Michigan Capital Confidential, Manny Lopez. Manny, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
So, Manny, you and I were exchanging some Facebook stuff, and there was a story we put on The Drift today, and it's about Venezuela. Is that what you wanted to call and talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I'll talk about whatever, but that's in particular, that's one of the issues. It's just been absolutely ignored by broadcast media in particular, but I have a vested interest in it because I've got family there.
Yeah.
And, you know, this socialist government, which is a very polite way of referring to it, has completely destroyed that country, and the reports of violence don't even come close to what's actually happening down there.
Right. And what do you think that is? Why, you know, if it was Hugo Chavez, he was the big boogeyman for so long, and now that he's gone, do you think it's no longer newsworthy?
You know, it's interesting. I think some of it is internal. You know, the government down there has shut down the internet at times for complete stretches and made it very difficult for people who are there to communicate. He's basically, both he and Chavez have censored out most of the opposition media that existed, but they expelled a Colombian station here this week that was reporting and just flat out reporting on the news. But what happened was they showed showed a student who was shot, and so he claimed that was, you know, against good taste, and so he expelled them from the country. So it's, you know, it's the typical you know, communist Big Brother closed down all avenues of information because you're losing.
Yeah.
And you've lost the will of the people, and so what do? You become harsh and dictatorial towards all of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the picture that was with the story that you brought to my attention, and it's the city of San Cristobal, and mm-hmm. the city's on fire. I mean,
isn't Caracas the most dangerous city in the world, except for, say, like Flint?
I actually think it's more dangerous than Flint. It is. Last time I was there was in 2007, and the lights were already going out, and there was things that were missing off the shelves, and it is just a complete and utter. You know, they're trying to turn it into Cuba.
Well, yes,
we all know how that works.
It's Chavez's socialism that is the state has taken over the oil industry, and hasn't their production of oil just totally collapsed because of the state control of the oil industry, and they've basically thrown out foreign investors that know what they're doing to come in there and explore for that oil and drill it efficiently?
All of the above. And it's not just the oil industry that they've ruined. They've ruined the telecommunications industry. They've ruined, they're importing toilet paper and chicken. So they've nationalized farms. They've taken land from property owners because they believe that, you know, everyone should be equal and that the government can run it best.
Well, you know, if you eat chicken from Venezuela, you're going to need a ton of toilet paper. No question.
It didn't used to be that way, and that's the problem. I mean, don't get me wrong. Venezuela's had problems in government for a long time, but they were a functioning society with people who actually knew that their vote counted, and they didn't fear going out at night because they thought they were going to get killed.
And they had a blessing of all this oil, and now it seems to be working against them.
Oh, they still do. Yeah, they still do have the oil, but yeah, the infrastructure has just been destroyed and ruined because it's a payoff system, and because the government there doesn't know what they're doing. And so there's tremendous wealth in that country, but the people who say they want to give it to everyone are taking it for themselves and their cronies and ruining it in the process.
And that's the fact that happens with all socialism. And
exactly,
communism. It's so fake and phony because hypocritical because the people in power always get the money. They're not sharing that communally with everybody.
Well, the mentality is this time it'll be different. And it wasn't done correctly in the past, but under this new revolutionary utopian mindset, we'll do it right. And they never do it right.
Right.
Because it's impossible to do it right.
So Manny, right, as a managing editor of Michigan Capital Confidential, this kind of leads into something that was big story for the last 2 days anyways. With the FCC saying they wanted to put people in newsrooms, and Michigan Capital Confidential, I'm assuming you guys would have got one of those surveys and may have been visited, even though they call it a voluntary visit. How bad really was that? I don't think a lot of people, they kind of pass it off, but how really bad an idea is that to have the FCC coming in and basically putting a minister of information officer in our newsroom?
Well, Chavez would have loved it.
There you go. There's your answer. It's horrendous. I mean, and to think that any media outlet in this country would go along with it embarrasses me as a journalist, because there is no reason. The First Amendment protects our right to freedom of the press, and if we even begin to let the government stick their nose under the tent, or worse, come in and sit down and listen and take notes, then it's all downhill from there. I mean, the government, what's really shocking is that they paint these rosy pictures about it. About, you know, we want to deliver, we want to make sure Americans are getting what they want. Well, there's plenty of options out there for Americans to make their own choices. If somebody wants to read about limited government, you know, pro-taxpayer news, they come to Michigan Capital Confidential. If they want to read about, you know, socialism, they go to a different site. And plenty of those things already exist. There's plenty of choices, and the government doesn't need to be involved in this at all. And I give credit to the FCC commissioner who wrote the first piece in the Wall Street Journal exposing this, because thankfully it's gained some traction, and media outlets all over, including the lefty ones like the New York Times, need to say no.
Yeah, that was FCC Commissioner Pai, wasn't it? I think I saw him on Greta
right,
the other night. And yes, I was shocked because I'm assuming, was he an appointment of Obama's, or was he a holdover from Bush? I'm assuming it was an Obama appointee.
I think he is, but I'm not positive about that.
I watched him, and I immediately thought, how long before they drag him out of office?
He's on his way to a FEMA camp as we speak.
Off to the gulag.
It's just a colossally bad idea. I mean, there's no reason for the government to get involved and try and figure out what consumers want, because guess what? There's plenty of information out there, plenty of research institutes doing those surveys that figure out what people want. And, you know, people vote with their clicks and with their views and with what stations they turn on to. I mean, you guys have got a great outlet, because if people want to know what conservative news is going on, they log on and they listen. And that's the way it should be. And if you don't like it, you change the channel.
Right. Well, let me ask you another question, Manny. Do you have any inside scoop up at Michigan CapCon about the surplus and how Snyder and the Republicans are going to spend this money. Are they going to really just go ahead and give us some lame money back on a tax reduction? And then, of course, again, it's election year, so they're going to say, oh, we're going to beef up the K-12 budget again, like they really need any more money. I think they need another answer besides money. What do you have any inside scoop what's going on with that surplus and where they're going to spend it?
You know, the things that we're hearing are just what you mentioned. I think what clouds the whole thing is it is an election year. And even though I think, Governor Snyder's got a good solid grounding, not everybody in the Republican Party does. And I think that from a partisan politics point of view, they're going to look at that and say, we need to benefit the party in this. And so I do think you'll see an income tax issue rollback. And then obviously the Democrats have made education funding a huge issue, even though they're misreporting it still on television commercials and elsewhere about all the cuts. The governor will put some more money into that. And as you mentioned, what we need to do is we need to look at the money that we're spending and making sure that we're spending it properly. And if we're not, then, more money is not always the answer. I mean, the education establishment has been getting more money and more money and more money, and the results haven't improved. So, but from the standpoint of what we have in the surplus, I think that's exactly what you're going to see, is you're going to see a little bit of a tax rollback and then more money for education. You can't go wrong politically with doing that.
Right. Now, do you think if enough people made a stink about the roads, because as Drake and I have been talking about all show, we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg right now. These roads are going to deteriorate rapidly in the next 30, 45 days. If enough people get on the horn and start talking to their legislators or leaving messages and emails, do you think we can turn that around and get them to change their mind and spend some money on the roads?
Well, that's the critical point right there, is you got to get people to make the phone calls and send the emails. And, yeah, I mean, it's shocking to me when I talk with legislators to hear them say, man, I got 3 phone calls and it freaked me out. They take action. They get 3 phone calls or 4 phone calls and they do something.
Right.
Because they don't interact with constituents very often. So the roads are horrendous. I think you're going to see a lot of people on the sides of the roads with flat tires. And if the media picks up on just those sort of, man on the street pothole stories and the amount of money that people are having to pay, because the state's not going to pay for, a bent rim. They're going to deny those claims. You could see some movement there. And the governor wants $1 billion for roads anyway. So, they really, he's a nerd, right? He needs to sit down and think, where's the cost benefit here? And can we do better for the state with money in the road system or with a tax and income tax cut? Now, I'd personally like to see both.
Yeah.
Road money without any increases, and I'd like to see some more of my money back in my pocket. But you're right, the roads are going to be a huge issue, but it will all depend on the action that people take on that issue.
And what you just said, Manny, you'd like to see both. That's what I thought we were going to get when we elected Rick Snyder. We're going to see a tax cut for not only business but people, and we're going to do more with the money, more efficiently, more effectively, allocated more properly with the money that we've already dumped into the system. And then we continue to dump into the system year after year after year.
Man, were you
naive? It's interesting. Governor Snyder campaigned on not being a politician, and I think he's annoyed enough people on both sides that he would get an approval rating on that. But at the same time, he has gotten involved with politics. I mean, the Medicaid vote was a political vote, and I still don't understand why he did it. And I think that what he's found in office is that, especially in Michigan, you got a full-time legislature, so you can't separate yourself from politics. And whether it be overt or behind the scenes, he's been engaged in it. And at times, what he said he would like to do, he hasn't done. But I also think we truly can't expect even a businessman to go into office and to run it like a business completely absent of politics.
Right.
So even though I would like to see more of my money and you should get more of your money back in your pockets, I think the reality of the world is we didn't get the right businessman in there to sort of look at things that way, and I think he kind of also got caught up in some politics. That doesn't mean he hasn't done some good things, but he's also done some bad things.
Right. And in the end, you take what you can get. And if it comes down to Shower or Rhino Rick, I'm taking Rick.
There's no question. I mean, the 8 years we had under the previous governor, my skin crawls to think that we would have to endure something like that again.
I can see us at the rallies, and the GOP convention for the state with signs held up. We'll take what we can get.
That's
the rallying cry.
That's the benchmark. But, you know, we would be in far worse shape if we didn't have term limits and we had Jennifer Granholm still stomping her feet and waving her arms.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Manny, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for all the work that you guys do up at Michigan CapCon. So make sure, you know, anytime you've got something you want to get out, make sure you call me. We'd love to get you on the show again.
I will. Thanks for having me.
Great. Thank you. Take care.
Yep. Take care.
All right. So, you know, if you don't go to the Daily Drift, you miss a lot of this stuff. I put the least two links to Michigan CapCon on every day. Because the information those guys put out there, hey, a lot of people call them conservative. They're not. They're a common sense website. They put the truth and the facts on there, and it's a great website. So I love having the guys from Michigan CapCon come on with us, and you can get the links to their stories every day at thedailydrift.com.
Yeah, and they cut through the crap and make it easy to read and understand that common sense that they're conveying. Now, see, why don't we hire them to promote, you know, as the official lobbying and speech writers and everything
GOP.
For the candidates, right? On a national level, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call from Pat in Flint. Wants to talk about education funds. Pat, go ahead.
Gary, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Pat, let me ask you, is Flint more dangerous than Caracas, Venezuela?
What do you mean? The vacation mecca of the Midwest? Are you kidding? It's lovely. It's balmy here. I mean, you know, I'm riding my bike down Saginaw right now.
Well, Saginaw, that's Shangri-La.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, so education fund. We don't need another dime. Why not give the junkie another needle and another bag of heroin? We're running charter schools. We're paying for our own facilities on less money than the government schools get, and they get their buildings for free.
What about the children?
Yeah. Well, that's true. And that's what bothers me about Mark Schauer. This moron, and I'm going to be proud to call him a moron, is on TV spouting off the same lies that Governor Rick has cut funding. No, he hasn't. They're pouring more money to the schools than they ever have, and we're getting no results.
We're getting worse results. What they're doing is they're funding the technology to implement the Common Core. Now, you want to see anti-Americans get trained up? That's what's going to happen with the Common Core.
Yep.
So either we start getting these policies, and Gary, you had it most of the way right. Defund the GOP itself. Fund the conservative candidates that understand what they're supposed to do. But the GOP on a whole, take every dollar away from them. That's the only thing that they understand.
Yeah, you have to. You have to, as a voter, no longer pull a straight ticket lever for either side. You need to look at the person that you're voting for. With the internet, it is so easy to find out what a person is about. And forget the television ads because they're all lies anyways. Go online, find out where these politicians stand on the issues, the way they voted if they're already a politician, and make a correct decision. It's not that difficult.
And if we don't start doing that, we are going to collapse faster than the American women's hockey team against Canada.
Educate yourself, folks.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to do it.
Thanks, Pat. Anything else?
No, buddy.
Take care.
Did you see that the last few minutes of period three, the last 3 minutes of the game, the American women against the Canadian women for the gold?
I did not.
Oh, Derek, come on board with us here. Is it okay if we do that, lighten it up a little bit?
Sure. Knock yourself out.
I'm no hockey expert, but I'm watching this, and I was excited for the American women. They're up 2-0. There's like 3 minutes left, and the Canadian women are desperate. I see this Canadian player.
Say that again.
What's that?
Say that again.
Say what?
The women were desperate?
Yeah. Why are we here? We need to be there. But this Canadian woman, this hockey player, she takes her stick and just a flagrant foul, takes it and whacks the American gal right in the thigh, no penalty called. And if a penalty had been called, that may have shifted the whole flow of the game. The Canadians come back, they tie it up with like, I don't know, a few seconds left, 2-2, and it goes into overtime, then of course we lose. Derek, what do you think?
Oh yeah, it was a total travesty. You said it right. Yeah, the refs did call some penalties against Canada early in the game, but I think they had it in for Canada winning the game all along, the way they were calling the game practically throughout with some of those fuzzy, questionable penalties that they did call on the Americans. And
the lack of calling penalties on the Canadians.
Right. Yeah,
so
that's true.
I haven't watched anything, so answer me this. Now, the men's hockey team beat the Russians, yes?
Yes, they destroyed everybody, I think, up until, you know.
Finland?
Canada.
Canada. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There we go. Well, you're going to lose Canada.
Well, 1-0 they lost. But.
The women, did they beat the Russians women team?
I believe Derek? So. I don't know for sure.
I don't know. I only watched the women's gold medal game.
That was it for me, too. On, based on one thing, one thing only. Oh, no. We beat the Russians and put our finger right in old Putin's eye.
I thought you liked Putin.
I do like. I respect him. I'm not going to say I like him. He stands up for his country, unlike our president.
Well, I'll give him that.
I love the quote that he said, you know, he expected better, basically. I wouldn't want to be the Russian coach or a Russian player at this point. On that team.
Can you imagine you lose to the Americans, jeez, and you're in the locker room and there's Putin giving you the glare?
Yeah.
That'd be kind of scary.
That's, I wouldn't want to be one of those guys right now.
But, you know, I'm not a big hockey fan, but when I saw that the score was 2-0, and as I, you know, was kind of looking at it here and there, I tried to watch most of the third period, and I wanted to see the American women celebrating, you know, for America and the flag and everything, and I think it's cool that some of these women are hot playing hockey. You know, it's just, it's something, a spectacle to watch. And I'm not trying to just say I've watched because some of the women are cute. I think it's cool that women can play a rough sport like that, you know, and get out there.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to see the celebration and the whole spirit, like, you know, 1980, you know, Al Michaels. Can you, how do you word it, Derek?
Do you believe in miracles?
Exactly. Yes. That's what I wanted to see. And I was sadly let down.
Well, you got the Sochi, dude. It's a big letdown.
You got the Sochi. They can't even get the toilets right.
Yeah. You got Sochi'd.
Yeah, I got Sochi'd.
It's going to be a new term. Yeah. Yeah, we might get Sochi'd in this election if we're not careful, at least the Republicans.
Yeah, Linda might come in here and Sochi me right off the air.
Well, since we lightened it up, I managed to dig through the internet and find the original Obama campaign song that got ixnayed by his handlers afterward. Derek, you got that ready? Go ahead and play. I think we got time.
So you think you're going to live your life alone, in darkness, in seclusion? Yeah, I know. You've been out there and tried to mix with the animals, and it just left you full of humiliated confusion. But the feeling of loneliness never leaves you. It haunts you everywhere you go. And then you meet me, and your whole world changes. Because everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop your defenses, and you drop all your fears. And you're so busy feeling good that you never question why things are going so well.
All right, Derek, we'll do it next year.
You want to know why?
We cut it too close.
He's a liar, but so many people still believe.
They do. All right, until next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay educated.
It's been fun.
See you next week.